Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Jackie Leiden. Michelle Martin is away. Now it's time for the weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. And sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are writer and culture critic Jimmy Israel, Johns Hopkins political science professor Lester Spence, from the Log Cabin Republicans, executive director R. Clark Cooper. He's also an Army Reserve captain. And you three are all here in the studio with me. Hello to everybody.
Hello.
Hey.
Yay, yay.
And in Boston, we have Neil Minkoff. He's a doctor now working as a healthcare consultant and a contributor to National Review magazine. Hello, Neil.
Hey, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. I'm happy to be back in the barbershop.
Dr. Neil, what's up, dude?
I'm just living the dream, baby. How you doing?
You're the man. If I could just be you, just for a day.
And all right. I say that to you, babe.
How's everybody? Welcome to the shop. How's everybody?
Hey, what's up, man?
All right.
Cold chilling.
Getting ready for Tampa. Right.
Take it away, Jimmy.
Well, you know what? And thank you, Jackie. It's nice to have you back.
It's great to be back. Right. I love the barbershop.
And it loves you. Okay, so let's get things started talking about vice presidential politics. You know, Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney announced Congressman Paul Ryan as his running mate on Saturday. Now, we'll get to that in a minute because Joe Biden is back on his grind. The gaffe machine is back at it again. The current vice president. He made news this week. Jackie, we got a clip, yeah?
I don't know if there's anyone who hasn't heard this clip, but just in case, let's play it again.
Look at what they value and look at their budget and what they're proposing. Romney wants to let he said in the first 100 days, he's going to let the big banks once again write their own rules. Unchain Wall Street. They're going to put y'all back in chains.
I just want to say that Vice President Biden said that in Danville, Virginia on Tuesday in front of a largely African
American. Oh, man, I love him. He's like the Yogi Berra of vice presidential politics. Thanks so much for that, Jackie. Now, Mitt Romney called the comments demeaning. Virginia's first and only black governor, Douglas Wilder, also said Biden was off base. Really? You think so? Lester Spence. You're the political science guy. What do you think?
Yeah, there's this long history of both parties actually speaking down to black audiences.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because in this case, well, I mean, Biden's a unique character anyway, right? And that he just happens to speak off the cuff. And oftentimes his speaking off the cuff actually has benefits that we now, you know, have large scale support for same sex marriage because he ran his mouth.
Right.
But this is the flip side of that, where mm-hmm. he runs his mouth and he ends up putting his foot in it. But with that said, it's important to understand that there's a qualitative difference between the comments that somebody like Biden makes and the comments that others make, because at least African Americans understand that somebody like Biden supports policies that they do.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm whatever, you know, about race politics.
Yeah.
And I look at it as just another gaffe. You know, it's just another gaffe in a series of gaffes. I do not read anything to it. Yeah. I love Joe Biden. I would invite him to every dinner party just so I could have some entertainment.
Oh, real talk.
Can we get Neil in here first?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, Neil Minkoff, go ahead.
I would love that. I would love to have Joe Biden at every barbecue I ever attend.
I swear to God.
Entertainment factor. But, you know, what I want to do here is just for a second draw a contrast between, you know, Romney's speech that he made where he talked about to an African-American audience where he talked about Obamacare and whether or not that speech was racist, and compare and contrast a very serious speech where he brought up serious issues to some sort of ridiculous one-liner from Mr. Gaff over there, and yet they're both being torn apart as racist, and I don't think that they're at all similar.
Our Clark Cooper.
So the gift of gaff that keeps on giving
is
definitely Uncle Joe, as some people like to call him. But let's look back at what Governor Wilder said. That was mentioned earlier. So you're the first African-American governor of Virginia. This speech took place in Virginia. And as Wilder said, Obama is stuck with what he's got now. And mm-hmm. that's true. And so, you know, when you look at what Biden has to run up against our guy with Paul Ryan, I am really looking forward to these vice presidential debates because I really do think Paul Ryan is going to mop the floor with Joe Biden. He's not going to be able to keep up. You got now a young, sharp technocrat against Uncle Joe over here who's great for a barbecue, but how is he going to perform on the debates?
I'm glad you brought him up because we can't get out of here without off the particular subject without talking about Paul Ryan, you know, because Democrats hate him because he's got a well-publicized plan to cut government programs, but the Republicans love him.
Reform the programs.
Right, for the exact same reason. So, I don't know. Captain Coop, you're down with him, obviously. Dr. Spence.
I I'm really glad they selected Ryan, because I think this is the first election that I can remember where you've got the chance to have a really important debate, not about a right? Not about whether you like Obama or you like Romney, but actually about very different ideas about government and how it should operate, right? Even though they're very, they both talk about opportunity, but how the two parties actually believe in getting to that opportunity are very, very different. And I actually hope Ryan does not run away from his budget or even his support for somebody like Ayn Rand so we can actually have that conversation.
I totally am down with that.
Democrats hate him, Jimmy, because of his hair. This is the barbershop after all.
That's not why they hate him. You know, and, but I got to tell you something. You know, I really like this new ticket, Ryan and Romney. You know, not just alliteration. It's just, to me, there's something they have like a Reagan-esque sexy about them. You know, they have a symmetry, kind of like Fred Munster and Eddie, or
you see that picture on Facebook?
Laurel and Hardy, you know, or even James Caan and Billy Dee from Brian's Song. I mean, you know, which is something the Obama Biden ticket doesn't have for me. I mean, they're clearly not cut from the same cloth, Obama and Biden. You know, whereas Romney and Ryan clearly, I mean, they could be frat if they wasn't like 20 years apart, right?
But that's an important piece of it.
Go ahead,
Neil. There's a whole generational successional piece of it that I don't think has gotten enough play, where there's almost like a Reagan-Bush dynamic there that you alluded to, where there's a current leadership and then the potential to pass the baton down to the next leadership.
Right.
And I think the other reason that that people on the right dig Ryan is that he stepped into this huge power vacuum when the president's budget lost 97-0 in the Senate. The Senate doesn't put forth a budget, it would have been really easy for the guys in the House to turtle under and do nothing. And he didn't just put forth a budget. He put forth a really different budget.
Listen, I just want to bring up, Neil, Lester mentioned a moment ago Ayn Rand. Now, your consulting company is called Fountainhead Healthcare, named literature lovers. Hard to miss these days. Fountainhead, for those who may not know, title of the novel by the late author Ayn Rand, an icon for conservative thinkers. Paul Ryan seems to be backing away from her when he had been clearly very, very much influenced by her ideas, says it's why he got into public service. Do you think he needs to back away from her?
Well, I'll tell you my experience, and maybe we can extrapolate backward, which is I think that one can fall in love with some of the ideas in Atlas Shrugged or The Fountainhead, and yet still not be an atheist or amoral or believe in her views on a proper woman's role to a man. I mean, I think that there's this little nugget of truth about what the individual should be in relation to the government that doesn't necessarily mean an endorsement of everything in the books. I mean, I actually went back and pulled out Atlas Shrugged to find the place where Ayn Rand's heroes talk about how everybody's moving to Colorado because the government there does certain things and doesn't do certain things, and read that in contradistinction to the "you didn't build that," because I don't think anybody on even the deepest Randians, including Rand herself, is saying that anybody does anything purely alone.
And you can, if you don't like the book, you can see the movie you were saying.
Well, yeah, the book is much – books are usually better than any movie. But I concur on the individual responsibility, and this is what all conservatives really do rally around. So, yeah, you take nuggets out of there is that government is not always the answer. And that's where Paul Ryan and fellow conservatives are really looking at it, said, okay, government has a role, but it doesn't have to have a role in every aspect of their life. It should not be an impediment upon private business. It shouldn't be an impediment upon economic growth. And, you know, we talk about the generational issue. Ryan is particularly attractive to younger voters because it is the younger voter that is concerned about the solvency of government programs like Medicare, like Social Security. I'm in Generation X. I have siblings in Generation Y, and you've got the millennials who are concerned about if those programs are going to be there and how much longer we're going to work. So having a plan is very attractive to all voters, regardless of their party affiliation.
Okay, Clark, let's remember, R. Clark Cooper, you are executive director of the Log Cabin Republicans. If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Jackie Leiden, and you're listening to the weekly Barbershop Roundtable, as you can hear. And we're joined and hosted by writer Jimmy Israel, our barber, political science professor Lester Spence, Neil Minkoff in Boston, a contributor to National Review, and as we just said, Clark Cooper of the Log Cabin Republicans. And back to you, Jimmy.
Thank you, Jackie. All right, well, let's talk about what's going on with Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. Now, this week, the Mayo Clinic released a statement that he's being treated at their facility for bipolar disorder. And yesterday, Jackson got a visit from former U.S. Representative Patrick Kennedy. Now, Kennedy has been very, very public in the past about his own battles with bipolar disorder. After the visit, Kennedy told reporters Jackson is in a, quote, deep depression and has a lot of work ahead of him. Guys, I want to hear your thoughts on this. Dr. Spence Lester, you first, not just because you're a poli-sci professor, but you also talked with us about depression not long ago. How do you think this could or should change the way we talk about mental health?
So what I talked about before is, just a couple things. First,
sure.
I'm not bipolar, but I've suffered from depression.
Okay.
The second, I'm also familiar with the literature on depression. African Americans suffer from mental health issues about the same degree as whites do, but they get treatment far less, right? And stigma. And one of the reasons for that, the structural disadvantage reasons, but another reason for that is that they feel they take that burden on themselves. And because they take that burden on themselves, they think that something is wrong with them. That it's weird. They think that something is wrong with them, but they're not willing to take the step, that extra step to get treatment, right? So what I was hoping was that first that he gets better, but that this he uses this opportunity to actually create more space for blacks and for other non-whites to actually talk about this issue. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that I think he's got to be fair. I think he's got too much weight on him to probably continue as a representative. But I'm still hoping he uses this opportunity to really create more space for us.
Dr. Neal, you're not a psychiatrist. You are a primary care doc.
Yes.
What's your take?
Look, I took an oath and I was a doctor, and I am not going to take any pot shots at somebody who's clearly suffering. Mental health problems are an epidemic in this country. Stigma is a huge part of that. I completely concur with what's been said about removing the stigma and trying to make sure that anybody suffering from a mental health problem can find a way to get access to therapy.
We just have a few minutes left, and we have to get to this, the new NBC reality show, Stars Earn Stripes. Now, it's come under fire, and I do not ask for a pardon on this pun, by some veterans and Nobel Peace Prize winners, too. They claim it glorifies war, mocks the military. I hadn't heard about it before. It's quite something. Let's listen to a clip.
Excellent. Last one.
Where is it?
Take your time. Yeah.
Woo! Got him. She got
him. Now, the person screaming sounds intense. That was, believe it or not, former Olympic skier, peekaboo street, firing at targets with the help of her trainer. Clark Cooper, you've served in combat. What are your thoughts on this reality?
Absolutely ridiculous. So current members of the military, prior service, everyone I've talked to, and granted it's anecdotally, but I'm still serving, and I have friends who are still serving, and What a joke. I mean, you know, Nick Lachey, here you have a former pop star saying this is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Well, I have a great recruiter I would love to introduce him to over at Fort Meade, Maryland, who can guarantee a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I mean, this is the most ridiculous thing I've seen come out of television. And when you have this effete producer wearing an ascot saying that he's developing the show to honor the military, really? Give me a break.
And Wesley Clark is the advisor on this show. General
Unfortunately,
Clark?
I think General Clark, here's the former NATO Allied Supreme Commander, his post military career has jumped the shark, to use the term.
Well,
are we really certain?
Go ahead, Neil.
Are we really searching for meaning in reality television? I mean, if reality television has taught us anything, it's that the outlandish is what garnishes respect in that part of the world, and that it's this very twisted mirror into the American psyche that scares me.
Mm.
You know, I think they're
Lester.
I think they're trying to get some of that Call of Duty money. Like real
from the
talk.
Video game.
Yeah, from the video game. Mm-hmm. It sold like almost 50 million copies over the last 3-4 years. I think they're trying to get some of that money.
And it's trying to have a broad appeal. Ali, the daughter of Muhammad Ali, the boxer, says this honors the military. She's in the show. She cites the former members of the military who serve as trainers.
Well,
you're shaking your head, Lester.
Go ahead.
No, but yeah, Now, I'm with the captain. I think it's a bad look. I was just thinking about the economics, right? I mean, so they're going to come up with any reason that's semi-plausible to justify what they're doing. What it really It's for the show members, for Layla and the rest of them. It's about them trying to get their star thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in each mission, the star earns a stripe and $10,000 for a military based on charity. And the final winner gets to give $100,000.
And when they're in trouble, they get pulled out by a producer on a jet ski.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Coop, I didn't know you served, man. Thanks for your service, by the way. And respect to that.
Absolutely.
What I want to say here as the creative in the shop is that, you know, I'm saddened to see this because, you know, we're seeing scripted drama die more and more and more. And in terms of whether this is the line in reality TV, it's like, you know what? To me, that doesn't even be conversations because it's like, you know, there was Ice Cube show where families switch colors, you know, you know, and there are shows where people, they redress you, they change your style. So, you know, in terms of, you know, there are all kind of ways to lose your dignity on cable television
cheap.
Now.
But could it inspire people to enlist? Could it inspire people to enlist, do you think?
Well, you talk about popular culture, mm-hmm. books, films, John Wayne. You know, that does sometimes enlist people to join and join our ranks. Fine. I'd seriously question a show like this. And I would suggest that if someone is watching that show and thinks that's how it is, no. Go to an open house or one of those visitation days that we have on installations across the country. There are a lot of open houses where people can actually get a hands-on experience, mm-hmm. Or go visit a recruiter. It's that simple.
Yeah. Damn. Well, a lively barbershop, as always. Thank you, everybody. Jimmy Israel is a writer and culture critic. He's also adjunct professor of film and social media at Cuyahoga Community College. R. Clark Cooper is the executive director of the Log Cabin Republicans. That's a group advocating gay and lesbian rights within and without the military. And he's also a captain in the Army Reserve. Lester Spence is a political science professor at Johns Hopkins University. And those three gentlemen were here with me in our Washington, D.C. studio. We were also joined by Neil Minka from Boston. He's a doctor turned healthcare consultant. He's also a contributor to the National Review. Thank you, everybody, for making it a great Friday.
Hua.
Thanks, guys. Great weekend to all.
Yep, yep.
And that's our program for today. And before we go, we'd like to welcome a new station to the Tell Me More family, WDDE in Dover, Delaware. I drive past that going up to New York on I-95. We're happy to have you. I'm Jackie Leiden. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. Tune in for more talk on Monday.